Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are so delighted you're joining us today, especially on today, for it is a celebration of the most important event in the history of the world. Now, when I say that, I want to tie it to what happens on Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. But today, as you listen to this, we are celebrating Good Friday. It is one of those weird names for a day that I think is worth thinking about a little bit, because when we use the word good to talk about what happened on this day, it's actually a little bit shocking. In fact, I would argue, I think from a biblical perspective, that it's actually the worst day, or if you want to use language from when I was a child, the baddest day in history. It's very bad. In fact, I think as we try to understand what occurred, it's a dark day marked by darkness. And when we describe what actually happened, it should break our hearts, cause us to weep and to worship and to use our wills to glorify God, because we are so delighted at what Jesus has done, but also heartbroken at our own sin and what we deserve. So I want to start by calling this Bad Friday and explain why, and then we'll talk about why it actually is the goodest day in the history of the world and why it's so important to us as Christians. But to start, we need to remember why we celebrate this day, and that's because Jesus, the Messiah, had come, and he had lived a perfect life, and in that perfection, never sinned, never deserved anything wrong, never, ever sinned in his mind, or sinned in his motives, or sinned in his behavior. And so we could argue that if we understand the grossness of sin, we deserve rightly to be punished. We could certainly argue that that punishment that comes to us is something that we deserve, and something that Jesus took for us. I want to just remember with you a little bit of the pain he endured physically on this bad Friday. In the 1986 Journal of American Medical Association, there was a record of what Jesus went through, and I want to quote to you some of it, and it is horrifying. And so if you struggle with this kind of thing, you might want to fast forward a little. As the Roman soldiers repeatedly struck the victim's back with full force, describing the preparation for the crucifixion, the iron balls would cause deep contusions, and the leather thongs and sheep bones would cut into the skin, into the subcutaneous tissue. Then, as the flogging continued, the lacerations would tear into the underlying skeletal muscles and produce quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. The Jews limited their floggings to 40 lashes, but the Pharisees, obsessive with legalism and seeking to make sure they never disobeyed the Bible, kept it to 39, so that if there was a miscount, they wouldn't be breaking the law. The Romans had no such limitations. And so the flogging that Jesus received would have been unbelievably painful. The Roman soldiers then shoved a crown of thorns on Jesus' head, and that would have caused further bleeding and pain. The mockery would have been intense as well, as they spit on Jesus, bugged him, and sought to shame him. One theologian, Dr. Mark Eastman, says this: Jesus had not drunk since the night before, so the combination of the beatings, the crown of thorns, the scourging would have set into motion an irreversible process of severe dehydration. And there would have been dangers of cardio failure, and all of this was done so that prophecy would be fulfilled. And then he quotes Isaiah 50, verse 6. I love how some describe this pain as the most severe, and I think they are missing that the spiritual pain was even worse. But before we get there on this bad Friday, we haven't even yet looked at the horror of the crucifixion. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was to carry his own cross, again, a way of shaming the one to be crucified, and he carried his cross through Jerusalem. It was so overwhelming for him in terms of the emotional, physical, and spiritual pain of what he was enduring that he couldn't bear the cross. And so Simon of Cyrene was there to help carry this beam for Jesus. When they reached the crucifixion site on this bad Friday, Jesus endured even more physical, agonizing pain as metal nails were driven into his wrists. And they were holding him to the cross. These nails were put in such a way that they came in contact with the nerves, and his feet were also pierced with these nails, and Jesus was hung. The Romans did this in such a way that they wanted to maximize the pain of the one being crucified, and so they were creative in seeking for those being crucified to take hours to die. Suffocation actually was the cause of death for most, as they were forced to try to breathe, but they breathed by pulling themselves up by their wounded hands and feet, and then breathing, and then falling, collapsing back down, being hung. One doctor, a PhD, says the pain was absolutely unbearable. In fact, it was literally beyond words to describe. They had to invent a new word, excruciating, literally excruciating means out of the cross. He adds this, with air so precious and each breath so painfully won, he still uses that breath to communicate with people who are near. The first sentence, looking down at the Roman soldiers throwing dice for a seamless garment, is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in my mind, still quoting this doctor, this is one of the most remarkable statements in all of Scripture. We could go on, and the pain has been shown in movies. Perhaps most painful to watch, at least for me, the Passion of the Christ, so horrific. How can this be good? And now I want to get even worse, and that is possible because the pain that Jesus experienced on the cross, the physical pain so intense, was not even close to the spiritual pain with which he was forced and chose to endure for our sake. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states it like this, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." Ephesians 2:10 says, "By nature we are objects of wrath." And when we start to understand the demonstration of God's own love for us while we were still sinners, Romans 5, we see that this becoming sin was so that the wrath of God could be poured out on the Son of God for the glory of God and the saving of sinners. The intensity of the rejection of the Son of God on the cross, and then the wrath of God, if we can think now of eternity in hell that we should endure because of our sins, and then maximize that to everyone who has ever lived and sinned, and then all of those sins being placed on Jesus on the cross, and the wrath of God being poured out on him, the intensity of that is why Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane and wept. How can this be good? And yet, when understood in light of the love of God and what this means, this is the goodest day in history, especially when tied to the resurrection. And you might ask, rightly understanding the physical pain and the intensity of the spiritual pain, how can this be the only innocent man that ever lived? How can this be the horror of his physical pain, the more intense horror of the spiritual wrath of God being poured out on the Son of God? How can this be good? And the answer is found in the Bible, in that It's for us, the substitution. It's what we deserve. And so this Bad Friday is also Good Friday, because when we have faith in Jesus, by his grace, we receive forgiveness, and he who knew no sin that became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. This great exchange occurs, and we can experience forgiveness, freedom, and focus for the rest of our lives. It's also good not only because we've been redeemed, if that is not enough, not only because of the propitiation, the payment for our sin, satisfaction of the wrath of God, which Jesus did. Not only does that make it good, but he uses this action, this incredible demonstration of love that is mind-blowing, to guarantee his goodness to us in the rest of our lives, no matter what we go through. I love Romans 8:32, perhaps the most precious verse in the entire Bible. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us, freely give us all things? And so we know from this great gift of God on the goodest day in history, on Good Friday, that this penalty paid in full for our good was given by a God who loves us so intensely that in the midst of anything that is going on in our lives, we can have full trust in him. And so when we ask on this day in worship, how can this be good? Our answer in celebration is because now we can be forgiven. Now we can be free. Now we can trust fully in God, regardless of what we're going through. You see, God is holy and just and loving. And he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come and to live a perfect life in our place, to suffer and be crucified in our place. And he rose again, and he conquered sin and death, and offers that to all who will believe. This day is all defining in my life, for I have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6 would say, and I can trust him no matter what, because this guarantees his love, his goodness, his sovereignty, as Romans 8:28 to 32, or really you could go to 39, would say. It gives us hope in all situations. So brothers and sisters, precious family of God, today, and if you listen to this not on Good Friday, but any other day, may his physical and spiritual pain cause you to weep, cause you to worship, and then cause you to will, to choose, to live in rest and radical obedience to him in all that you do and say. This Friday is a good Friday, the best, because the worst that I deserve was given to Jesus, and the best that he has earned is given to me. So my encouragement to you today as one who believes is to tremble and then to rise and to choose to trust, and in that trust to live a life of total commitment to him. It's Good Friday. Easter is coming, the Resurrection Sunday that we celebrate. And if we understand the intensity and immensity of the pain that Jesus went through, the physical, so immense and yet so surface, the spiritual, beyond our imagination, and if we understand why he did it, and then we respond in faith and find in that forgiveness, that will free us from the world and the flesh, that will cause us to fight the demonic realm and to do so in confidence and have hope in the midst of any situation that God has allowed in our lives. Because this good is guaranteed by his life, death, and resurrection to all who know him in every circumstance, all of the time. This is the goodest Friday. and we remember, and we tremble and weep, and we worship with all that we are and all that we have, and with our wills, we choose to trust and to surrender. Thank you for listening, and may this Friday be one that brings you hope, joy, and full devotion.